It's healing school, friends. How many are excited? Praise God. It's cold, it's early, but it's great. Amen. God is here in power, and we want to remain conscious of his presence as we continue on this morning. Is that okay? All right. How many are expectant in this place this morning? You're expectant, you're ready, you anticipate awesome things. Great works here by the power of God. All right, we're going to give this time to him. And let's just get ready to go. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Just worship and adore you, Lord. Just thank you for how awesome you are. And thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Your power in this auditorium. Thank you, Father, for the now reality of our healing, which it is that we have in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for making this so real in our hearts and just bringing it home and just causing it to anchor in our souls, in our minds, in our hearts. Thank you, Father, above all, for manifestations of healing in this place this morning. Thank you, Father, because it's just so real, so true, and we just honor you and give you thanks for all that you've done. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just before we get the word, I have one or two quick announcements. One or two, I don't want to use the word shakeups, but a couple of things coming through at Healing School at this time. I want to announce a particular program, if you like, coming up March 31st, the last Sunday of this month, which you've tagged, Ask the Pastors. Ask the Pastors. So it's going to be a panel type setting. We're going to have our pastors here, all four of us. And so I want to encourage you, to encourage friends, family, or anyone you know, members here or not, if you have questions on healing, did you hear me say, on what subject?
Healing.
On healing and walking in divine health, then you want to come on down on the 31st. Before that, we encourage you to put your questions in an email, send them those out to me ahead of time if you'd like. Encourage you to do that. If you can't, don't have access to email, or don't have the opportunity to do that, then that's fine. Email to send it to seun@hotrockchurch.org. I'll take that again. seun@hotrockchurch.org. Email address, send that through, your questions on healing. And I believe it's going to be an exciting and powerful time here. Amen.
Amen.
Questions on healing, it'll be great. You have those answered. Guess how? How will those get answered, Teresa?
By power and demonstration.
By power and demonstration. Amen. Love that. By the word of faith and power, by the word of truth and verity, in demonstration, as she just said. So come prepared. Hallelujah. Secondly, we have these forms out. I want to keep encouraging you to fill these out. These are what we refer to as our testimony forms, if you like. We're looking at making one or two changes to that as well, but for now, this is what we have. Go ahead and just put your first name on there, and then what happened in your situation, in your circumstance, and that what seemed a challenge, how you received your manifestation of healing, how you received your healing. In a line or two, just so we can share it here at church with brothers and sisters so that they also get encouraged. Amen. Let's keep having those in. We're going to start putting those on the website. Before long, we're going to start having actually video sessions of those testimonies going live. So I want to encourage you, let's get into that. I don't want to use the word pattern, but let's get into that mode of operation. Because guess what, friends? God is doing great things here at House on the Rock Church. And we want to shout out loud, with loud acclaim, what the power of Christ, what the power of the gospel, what the power of grace is working in this area and surrounding regions. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Last week, I was on here speaking briefly on what I titled Laying Hold on the Good Life. And essentially, that was from 1 Timothy 6 and 12. First portion of that talked about fighting the good fight of faith. And in considering that, friends, showed how that the fight of faith, the good fight, the fight of faith in that regard is directly related to what came after that particular clause or phrase, which is what? Laying hold on eternal life. Laying hold on eternal life. And we saw how that eternal life is a present actual possession of the believer here and now, that is of a Christian, that is of a man or woman born again, of a man or woman saved, of a man or woman born from above. I'm using different terms to describe the same concept, the same idea. And how that eternal life has an imprint, has import, has impact on you as a person, on every facet, every aspect of the believer's life. And how that a consciousness of this and conviction of this reality aids us in seeing more and more manifestations of healing, of seeing you as an individual walking in divine health as you continue on in your walk here on this plane, on this earth. Amen. We saw a scripture, I want to read it out one more time. It was from 1 John in chapter 5. 1 John in chapter 5, verse 11. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, and the testimony is this: God has given us eternal life. We already possess it. And this life is in his Son, resulting in our spiritual completeness and eternal companionship with him. He who has the Son, by accepting him as Lord and Savior, has the life that is eternal. He who does not have the Son of God, by personal faith, does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does, so that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life. What is eternal life? What is it? Anyone? A quick review here, and then I'm just going to jump into brief follow-on this morning. What is eternal life? It's healing school. Remember that every time you come. Because sometimes we come, we just sit, and then we just chill out. But it's healing school. Blake? Eternal life. Where was the mic there? Did I have a runner? I thought I had one. Okay. Healing. Blake?
Healed, prospered, and made whole.
Healed, prospered, and made whole.
And living life on earth as it is in
heaven. Living life on earth as it is in heaven. So he sounds like he's describing a package there. Anyone else? Eternal life. Thank you, Blake. Joanne? Knowing Jesus, having intimate relationship with Jesus, knowing God. And we saw how last week, that's on the basis of the oneness which you now have in him, based of a partaking of what? What are you partaking with God in? What are you in concert with God in? Yes, Teresa? Divine nature. In partaking in divine nature, in partaking of what? The life of God, in partaking of what? The self same what? Spirit. Hallelujah. Which just puts us on a different plane and at a glorious advantage. This morning, I titled this quite simply, Have You Got It? Have you got it? In a manner of speaking, do you have it? Have you got it is the term. That's how I want to phrase it this morning. Have you got your healing? Have you got the reality of walking in divine health? Have you got conviction in this regard? Have you got it? A question this morning, just for us to contemplate, think on, ask ourselves as individuals. Something instructive I'd like to share this morning. Jesus speaking along the same lines in my heart, what I've seen in scripture, I'd love to share with you. Popular passage, well known, but I just want you to hear Jesus' heart in this regard, the heart of Jesus in this regard. How does eternal life play into? How does it relate to the idea of healing? John and chapter 3, verse 15. John in chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll take it from verse 14, as a matter of fact. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that what? The world through him might be saved. We'll get to that shortly. From verse 14, I want to take that in the Passion Translation. Jesus is referencing an occurrence or an event from the Old Testament. Passion reads it this way, and just as Moses in the desert lifted up the brass replica of a snake on a pole for all the people to see and be healed, so the Son of Man is ready to be lifted up, so that those who truly believe in him will not perish, but be given eternal life. This was referencing Jesus speaking, referencing an occurrence noted Numbers in chapter 21. A passage a lot of us would be familiar with, verse in, know well, from verse 4 through 9. And I'm just going to paraphrase it real quick and then move on. People of Israel, children of Israel, one more time, were in that mode which we sometimes see them more often than not. What mode is that? One of what? Complaining. One of what? Seeming what? Rebellion, if you like. Blake, did you have something?
Unbelief.
In a nutshell, that's what it was. Unbelief. Spoke against God, spoke against Moses. Oh, you brought us out of Egypt into this wilderness to die here. We have no food, we have no water. I don't know how true that was, but that was what they were saying. No food, no water. It says, and our soul loathes, detests this worthless what? Bread. God's provision described as what? You can see the irony in that. And so before long, fiery serpents and let out in their midst, bit so many of them, and scripture reveals Because this was not just, oh, a simple bite and then something you just, you know, gloss over and then move on and whatnot. Bible reveals how that many Israelites died as a result of this. Many. And then before long, what? They repented. How many see the quotes? Moses, say to the Lord quickly, we're sorry, we've erred, we've done this, and pray to him that he'll take all of this stuff away. And Moses prayed and received instruction from the Lord. Do what? Make a fiery replica of what? The fiery serpent. Place it where? On a pole. An instruction. Anyone who gets what? Bitten should do what? Look upon that snake, and then what would occur? It says, and they would live and not die. Moses did exactly as he was told of the Lord, and whoever was bitten took a look and lived. Received healing from that malady, from that occurrence, from that plague, as it were, and lived. Friends, the looking as described from the Hebrew language, Hebrew tongue, isn't just a mere glance. It's actually a fixed gaze, a continuous looking upon, appearing on, looking on intently on that serpent so as to receive healing. The serpent, in that whole passage context, refers shortly in a simple format or manner to sin and what? And judgment. And from the words of Jesus in John 3, we see how that bronze serpent is what? Is a type of Christ. Bronze serpent, which they looked upon, gazed upon intently, and received healing and lived from that experience as a result of, is a type of Christ. How do I mean? 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 21. I'll give two passages in this regard. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Bible reveals that, for he has made him who knew what? No sin to be what? Sin for us. Why? That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, put it in this wise, or in this effect, in Galatians in chapter 3. I'm going to put those together. Galatians in chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made what? A curse for us all. Why? Because as it is written, cursed is any man who does what? Anyone who does what? Who hangs on a tree. So Jesus, based on that work on the cross, was made, in essence, a curse to become a cure. Jesus was made a curse to become a cure, a remedy. Friends, the cure to all that ails you, the cure to all that ails me, the cure to all that ails us in whatever shape, form, or manner is in Christ. In Christ is our cure. In Christ is our remedy. In Christ is our healing. And I'll put it to you this way. When I say in Christ, yes, the conception of in Christ is our healing, but guess what? As it relates to you as an individual, as it relates to you as a person, as it relates to you as a human being with body and flesh in this world, where are you? You are in Christ. So that positioning of you being in Christ Jesus tells you, shows you, for all intents and purposes, reveals that you are what? Healed. Healing is yours. That's the reality to which you've been called. That's what you've been birthed into by way of what? Faith in the finished work. By way of salvation. In Christ Jesus. That's the position you occupy. Based on that finished work, friends, on the cross, you received eternal life. So, I can put it in this way. You're saved. You're saved. You're born again. You're saved as a Christian, as a believer. And that means what? You possess on the inside what? Eternal life. Because you're saved and you have this eternal life in you. That, of a truth, is your healing. Where? On the inside. Was that a phone or something? Oh, then. Well, praise God. Praise God. We saw John 3:17. It says, he didn't send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. All right, it's healing school. What does that word, what's that word in the Greek? What's saved? I heard someone, I don't want you to just say, I want you to, someone who hasn't said anything, Carol. Sozo. Sozo. Around sozo. Meaning what? What does it mean? Jessica? Saved? Healed, delivered, prospered. Let me give you two more lines. Blake?
Redeemed,
reconciled with God, free from the curse of the law. Anyone else? I want someone who hasn't said anything this morning. Yes. Sir? Complete. Whole. Thank you. Yes.
All
that. Thank you, Doris. All that. And much more. I'll read two lines and I'll try and bring this closer home, friends. From the original, sozo. To save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. To save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. To save a suffering one from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. Make whole.
Yes, glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
This always hits me, friends, how that in Jesus talking about having faith in him, believing in him, being saved, being born again, the direct point that he made reference to, the direct time frame that he captured, that he brought to light, that he made reference to, was what? A significant picture and portrait of what? Of healing. As we just saw in Numbers. Now, as it relates to souls or being saved or salvation, friends, it's not just enough to know all the words and know all the definitions and be able to spew them out at the drop of a hat. Oh, it means this and this and that and that. That's great. And that's awesome. Does that translate to conviction in your heart as to the reality of which you've been called as it relates to healing and walking in divine health? Has your heart been fortified with this as truth? Has your heart been garrisoned? If you like a blockade in there. That's actually one of the words from the originals. Where it says, guard your hearts from Proverbs 4. With all diligence. With the truth of what he's done and all that he's made you. Yes, that it's a package. Yes, that it's rightfully yours. Yes, and that it's been given. Yes, and that what? You get to enjoy it. Yes, and enjoy it when? In the afterlife.
No.
In the here and now. And above all that, it's what? It's on the inside. It's within you. Based on his life. Kitty, feeling a little warm up top, up front? Okay. Sure it wasn't that response you gave a short while ago when you answered?
Just
that's
not long
before
now. All right. Well, praise God. All right, quick question. What's conviction? What is conviction? I reference that word, mention that word, touch on that word. Sometimes, what does it mean? Mary, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I think in me, it's like when you are so convinced that something is true, it'll move you to respond to it.
When yes, so it moves you to respond to it. You respond positively to conviction. Thank you, Mary. Anyone else? Conviction. As it relates to the truth of healing that is yours here and now. Anyone else? Teresa?
Your heart is fully convinced.
Your heart is fully convinced. With that conviction, there's no shade of doubt. It's not about, conviction doesn't come about, friends, or doesn't arise based on wishful thinking. It's not just, maybe it's there, maybe it's not, maybe. It's not a half-hearted approach to the truth of God's word as revealed in the face of Jesus, as revealed in his word. It's in your heart. That's the seat of it. That's the resting place. Conviction, being convinced of the truth, of the reality of what God's word reveals. Quick question for you. How many here struggle with grasping or getting a hold of the past tense reality of your healing? How many? Do you have questions in that regard? Yes. Do you know where your response, where your answer is? Do you know where your answer is?
Words.
Teresa?
I just have my Bible written, not a word.
Amen. And the word. Hebrews 13:9. Friends, this is, it's about a walk. It's about a walk in God and with God. It's about a walk with Jesus and intimacy that results thereby. And your heart, it all going beyond a point of just head knowledge or just something we say because we all say it. But it's true for me. Can it be true for you? Can you hold it as true? Because you've actually seen it in God's word and come to receive revelation, insight to that as it concerns you specifically. And it's his heart to make you see it that way, because that's the truth. And that's what he's done and what he's accomplished and what he's freely given to you. And it's given to us, friends, to enjoy. Not just so we can spout it. It's good to spout it, but is it anchored in your heart for you as a person? Hebrews 13:9 says, I'm just going to take a clause in there. As it were, a charge. I took this to heart a long time ago. A long time ago, and it's changed my walk, my perception, my understanding. It says, it is a good thing. Someone say, good thing.
Good thing.
It's a good thing that the heart be established with what? With grace. It's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And as it relates to healing, friends, and applying that clause or passage to healing, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace as it relates to healing. The way I see, the way I look at it, I refer to it as the grace of healing and walking in divine health. That is grace too, because guess what? Did you deserve it? Even if you could have asked for something in that nature, you wouldn't have asked for something so complete as a package that we received, that you received. Amen. Your knowledge wouldn't have been able to, you wouldn't have just been able to contemplate every aspect of it. But God did and made provision through his son Jesus. Amen. And he perfected it on that cross, so much so that he said, what? It is finished. Establish your heart with this. Fixed, firm, resolute in your understanding, in your healing stance. Before I get into a quick example this morning, I just want to say that in my heart, the way I see it, there's something to be said about what we saw earlier about that fixed gaze. That looking intently. Thank God we're not looking at a type or a shadow right now. Amen. We're not looking at any brazen or bronze contraption. For the reality is in who? Is in Christ. The reality is Christ. And so we can gaze on him in this way. There's a passage I love and I just want to share from as I try to close this out. 1 Peter in chapter 3, verse 15. You know, I've always studied, you know, with the King James, and it says something to the effect of, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that you have. I want to take it from a different version this morning. It says, American Standard Version, and there are other versions that go along the self same lines. It says, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord. Exalt him, reverence him, give him pride of place in your heart, pride of position, first place in your heart as what? As Lord. This is still part of a fortifying of your heart. This is still part of establishing your heart in the grace, the truth, and the grace of healing. This is still part of that whole idea and reality. Sanctify Lord Jesus. First place in your heart. Being ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you. Friends, I'm relating this to healing this morning, and I want to say real quickly, as far as it concerns healing and health, the questions that arise do not necessarily come from man. The questions that arise come from situations, come from circumstances, come from issues, come from symptoms, come from results, come from reports, come from sometimes, depending on what your particular exposure may be like, the media or everything going on around us as we live daily. So have you got it? Do you have healing? Is it yours? Is it for the now? Is it entrenched in your heart so that when situations and circumstances and the ups and downs of life that you get to face on a daily basis, when those stare you in the face, what's your response going to be? Your response should issue from your heart. And when it comes out through your mouth, it's lining up with what you hold true there. It's lining up with what you hold as a conviction there. It's lining up with what you hold as your confidence there. Steeped in Christ Jesus. Is Christ the object of your affection, of your attention? In meditation, as by the word. In meditation, as by the word. In contemplation. Fixing your gaze, your attention on Jesus. Do you know he lives in you?
Yes.
Do you know that he is in you, your healing?
Yes.
He's in you, your healer. He's in you, your healing. And so the pursuit, as a matter of fact, as far as getting conviction in your heart, is a pursuit of Christ, is a pursuit of him in knowledge, in understanding, in fellowship, in koinonia, in relationship, and not just in pursuit of the healing in a matter of speaking. I'm talking about conviction here. What answers? What responds? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so, is it something to do with asthma? Is it some sort of cancer that's asking you the question this morning? Is it a migraine? Is it a heart condition? Physical heart, no? Is it? Is it a knee issue? Is it hearing? Is it a prostate issue? What's that condition that's asking you a question? How are you responding? Is it in faith? Faith is not just something spurious we throw out there. Oh, faith, I'm standing. Faith from Hebrews 11, I think we touched on it last week. Is what? Two quick words, very short, I'm buzzing it. Assurance and conviction. Even things not seen. Conviction. We say faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Conviction. And things not seen. But that I hold true, and I hope you hold true as well, that you are healed. You know, I'm going to hop back to this real quickly this morning. November 30th, 2008. A question that arose in the immediate aftermath, even from the hospital onwards, I got asked. They asked me, they said, why did you struggle with those guys? I'm talking about the attack. Well, I was attacked by about four or five guys, beaten so brutally, beaten and assaulted and damaged physically. You know, it's funny, if you were moving a short while ago and I saw a quick report, because back home in Nigeria, the police would have to issue a report for the hospital to actually take you into their possession to, you know, treat in cases of an emergency. And I saw a copy of that report when we were moving. And I saw listed the other things that, as time has gone on, things I'd actually forgotten that also transpired, and injuries to other parts of my body. Why did I struggle? It wasn't because there was a whole lot in the house where I moved away from. You can get some of this on the podcast, on the website. It wasn't because I had great material in the house. I didn't want them to get in there. But my wife, my beautiful bride, was in there. And I didn't want those bandits with their guns and everything else, cudgels and whatnot, getting into the house. Locked the door, moved down to the car and parking lot in between two vehicles, begging for my life and being brutally beaten, pounced on with iron rods and everything. It was bad. I was an adrenaline rush. you know, so bad, it was so surreal as it was occurring at that time. First shot rang out on the hand with that finger blowing off. I didn't even realize it. I jumped off and, you know, pushed away on these guys, stood up in the midst and tried to make a way out from their midst to the gate just to run away. Well, because there were many, they still caught up with me. I couldn't move that fast, having been so so badly beaten up. I said, you know what? Forget this guy. We're done. He struggled too much. Take this. Gun to the head. And then gunshot. Bang! Point blank. And then there was just darkness. And you know, friends, when you take a look at some movies, sorry to make this reference, and something goes off and you hear that, there's a sound, on, you know that sound of the heart beating? Doop, 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 doop. That was all I could hear, as there was just that piercing thing in my head that had opened things up, and there was just blood. Sorry for all the, you know, oh, we have kids here. Well, with all of that gushing, my reference right now isn't to the passage that from which this word came, but in my heart, with my eyes closed, you said, Lord, is this it? And he died at the hands of armed bandits with a gunshot wound to his hand, to his head. End of ministry, end of this walk with you, end of fellowship with you as it concerns to this life. And from within, from the inside, deep inside of me, I don't, from within, that self same word he gave me by the power of an endless life. Endless life, eternal life on the inside. And something welled up on the inside, conviction. Said, okay, thank you, Lord. And I opened up my eyes. And I said, I'm not going to drop down here in front of these guys and take a few more bullets because maybe they're angry, maybe they're upset, maybe whatever it is. I'm living. By the power of God, by the grace and the power of God, I was saved, rescued, delivered. On that day. And I have no doubt, friends. Someday I'll teach on the revelation he gave me in just that phraseology, the power of an endless life. It's a reference to Christ Jesus as priest in Hebrews in chapter 7, verse 16. And I'll share that revelation with us someday. It may not be at healing school. I'll have a talk with him in that regard. But here it is, friends. What's lined up in your heart? What's lining your heart as it relates to healing and health? I've shared this. I had a couple of surgeries to my hands. Yes, missing digit. Yes, saved index. Yes, but no surgeries to my head. No doc, no medic would go in there. I'd be like, nope, that's where it's lodged, where that bullet is lodged in there. We're not going in there. And that wasn't just a Nigerian thing. That was also in the United Kingdom, in London more specifically. They said, okay, we're not going to go. By the power of God, in a couple of hours after that event, they said, medics saying, a cutaneous membrane had formed, was beginning to form around the bullet. Will this cause damage to you? Will you be able to walk and talk, you know, and carry on life? By the power of God, yes.
Amen.
By the power of God, yes. I'm alive today, testifying to his glory, to his goodness. What's lining your heart as it concerns conviction? When the question comes, when that symptom comes, when that thing comes, or let's say it's there already, let's say you're already battling this out. What's lining your heart still? What has he given you as it concerns his word? What has he given you as it concerns his person? I'm saying sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Jesus as Lord. That special place. And when those questions come, your response is going to issue forth. It's going to flow from what? From your heart. Regardless whether it's something approaching, taking a while. Maybe it's something that just hits instantly without you even knowing it. I'm talking about so great healing. I'm talking about so great rescue. I'm talking about so great deliverance, which is yours. here and now. Thank you, Lord. And I give thanks continually, and I will that you too also would give thanks continually. Would the prayer team members come? I'm convinced, friends, that eternal life on the inside perpetuates this healing. That is it. It causes it to just show up and just pervade your whole being, your life as you walk here. Would you put your heart on it? Would you put your mind on it? Would you be fixed and focused in your gaze on Jesus and that which he has done? Full, rich, complete, yours. We used to have the expression, signed, sealed, and delivered. It's yours. It's yours. Healing is yours. And guess what, friends? Healing is now. And when I praise him, permit me, if you will, when I thank him in private, I say simply, thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given me. I can never repay you, but from my heart, I love to say that I thank you. You're in this place. You need healing this morning. Lord God, creator of the universe, is here. Mighty in power, glorious in majesty. I love you. Just get up. Every soul, let's just stand. Come on. Come on now. Let's take advantage. I don't care what the name is, what the doctor said. Please come. Come forward now. I plead, I don't know what tears right now. But make your way forward. Don't leave this place this morning without talking to one of these prayer team members. They have the life of God on the inside of them. They have faith resident and abounding on the inside of them, and they're going to agree with you. And I want to assure you, you get to see results this morning in your situation, in your circumstance. Because God is real. His power is real. And you can taste of it tangibly. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for hearts healed this morning. Thank you for healing my heart. Healing our hearts. Making us see you for who you are. So loving. So kind, so tender, so merciful, so forgiving. And you healed us. You healed us. You made us whole. We say we love you, Lord. I just want to thank you for every healing that has taken place in this auditorium this morning. I thank you for testimonies that result, that issue forth thereby, all to your praise and to your glory. I say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.